Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. United States Army Material Command, AMC, is one of three commands of the U.S. Army and the one that delivers precision sustainment material readiness to our global joint force. With a rich history of since 1962, AMC has worked tirelessly to support our warfighters, impacting all 50 states and more than 130 countries around the globe. Today, we're honored to have the command team from AMC to tell us about the history and how they continue to evolve and face the challenges of a changing world. Please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veteran service members and the family for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, where we take care of our own, with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and if you ever listen to the show, I always say this, we love them too. Today, we're talking with the command team from the United States Army Material Command, also known as AMC headquarters at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm excited to welcome Lieutenant General Chris Mohan, commanding general, and CSM Jay Garza, Command Sergeant Major. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, SMA. It is an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity to talk to your audience, you and your audience. We're huge fans.
Well, let me tell you something. Every time I get somebody from the military, especially Army now, when I get them on the show, I'm always pumped up here. Hey, but Sergeant Major, sir, before we get started, would each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself, maybe take a minute or so, and sir, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I became the 22nd AMC commander in December of this year, or December of last year. And before that, I was the deputy commanding general. And this is really my fourth assignment. So I'm the CG, I was the DCG, I was the G3 of AMC a few years ago. And then I commanded one of the organic industrial base facilities, Tooele, Utah, America's Depot.
Well, they must not be able to get rid of you. You're just hanging in there all our time.
A bad penny. I just keep showing up. That's what happens when you don't quit.
I'm with you. Sergeant Major, go ahead. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, SMA. And again, thank you for allowing us to come in here and share our AMC story. A little background on me. I've actually been out of the sustainment community for the last 7 years. So my last assignment, I came out of what is known as T2COM right now, but it was Army Futures Command. I watched the merger. And then before that, I spent a little bit of my operational time as the ARCIT Command Sergeant Major, being on the receiving end of what AMC gives to the CENTCOM AOR. And then before that, I was part of ASALT. So I spent a little bit of time working for the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, really working with the KIT for soldiers, PEO soldier, and several of the other PEOs. I mean, that's all going through reform right now, but got a little bit of experience in that. And the last time I did sustainment operations was as the 8th Theater Sustainment Command Sergeant Major out in the Indo-Pacific. So that was a great experience. Was there for about 14, 15 months. Watch AMC assist Indo-PACOM set the theater for the PIN, if you remember 17 and 18.
And that's the reason I picked him. That diverse background.
There you go.
The reason I picked him.
I was just going to say he's got so much knowledge about that. I was thinking all of a sudden my head's starting to hurt with all that information he's giving right there. That's squared away. Hey, sir, for our audience, what is Army Material Command? How do you support the Army? Tell our audience about it.
Yeah, so we exist to provide precision sustainment to our Army. And we put it into three big buckets of capability. So the first one being delivering ready combat formations. and that is leveraging the power of the organic industrial base, our heavy maintenance teams, our advanced manufacturing capability, our radar and radio repair, in order to create effects for the maneuver commander. The second big bucket is enhancing the soldier experience. And that is things that we do to make our soldiers' lives better. And it can be everything from the way we're reforming food service all the way down to deploying innovative techniques to change the way we do business in our motor pools and in our company supply rooms using technology. And the third one, and installation services with MCOM is buried in all this, right? And then the third one is rethinking and reshaping the organic industrial base so that we're prepared well into the future, leveraging modern technology, leveraging modern manufacturing processes, et cetera, so that we are prepared for future operations.
Yeah. You mentioned a minute ago, you do a lot with CENTCOM. I was at CENTCOM Sergeant Major for about 3.5 years down there. So I know exactly all the stuff you guys are doing. Hey, Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, thanks, SMA. Not only, I mean, did General Bohan cover our lines of effort, but it's a very complex, dispersed, it's a multifunctional mission. And think about Talisman Saber when I was out at 8th Theater Sustainment Command. AMC has to generate sustainment capability, really project sustainment capabilities across multiple countries. And being on the receiving end, like in 17 and 18, yeah, when I watched AMC push commodities to set the theater on the pin, to watch the APS stocks being pushed in order to facilitate or help or assist if we had to go into contingency operations. And then, as I mentioned, you know, CENTCOM will always find ways to pull you back in. AMC with yeah, the C-17s, the C-4s, along with SDDC, with TRANSCOM, it's really the organization formerly known as SDDC. It's called Army Transportation Command now. But they were able to deliver Patriots missiles, THAAD capability to us, to the soldiers, at the right time, at the right place, when we needed them.
Well, right there on the battlefield. I remember flying out of McNeil and going overseas. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. And again, I thank you guys for what you're doing. Could you make certainly a big difference on the battlefield? That's for sure. If you guys aren't working, we're in trouble. That's for sure. Hey, Sergeant Major, the Chief of Staff of the Army has charged AMC with enhancing the soldier experience. Feeding the force in the major areas you're focusing on. So would you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, SMA. And that's a great question because we haven't gotten it right over the last 15, 20 years. We haven't been able to get our utilization right inside our dining facilities. And we've changed the name. When I first came in, it was called Mess Hall.
Mess Hall.
Yeah.
Mess Hall. I got them.
Yeah. And then it was changed to the defects, dining facilities. And I think now we call them Warrior Restaurants. And I remember having a particular conversation because I owned a defect there on Fort Carson, and I brought the defect manager in. And I said, hey, we got to get our utilization rates up, but I want us to think outside the box. I said, I don't want soldiers to necessarily come into the defect food. I said, we got to change the atmosphere. We got to put, maybe a gaming system, maybe charging stations in, maybe music in the background. We got to think differently so that it attracts soldiers to the defect. And oh, by the way, there's food so they can eat. It didn't work out, but here's what I'll tell you. The Secretary of the Army, the Chief of Staff of the Army, and the SMA are adamant about modernizing the food ecosystem across the Army. And they've told us to look at different venues. And we got a couple of venues. I'll talk about a couple of them. And I'm sure General Mohan will talk about a couple of them. But one is the campus-style dining venue. And we got three tranches. One tranche will hit five installations: Fort Hood, Fort Carson, Fort Bragg, Fort Stewart, wow, Fort Drum. We'll get the first tranche of campus-style dining venue. And when you think campus-style dining, you ought to think food court. You ought to think multi-food stations, grilled items, salads, sandwiches, flexible seating, more of a social environment, more of your kind of like your collegiate campus dining areas. So that's one. The second one is Victory Fresh. And I actually went out to Fort Lee, Virginia on a couple of days ago. And I visited the Victory Fresh dining facility there and talked to soldiers. And they had no complaints about the food. No complaints at all. They said the food was well prepared. The one complaint that they did mention up was the lines that they had to get or they had to stand in to get into the food. And that's a good problem in my mind to have. We'll fix that problem. We'll create efficiencies. But when you think Victory Fresh, you think healthy, you know, quick grab and go meals. You think wraps, salads, you know, super protein bowls, a salad bar. And so those are some, you think even pizza. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do in order to modernize the dining facilities on the installations. We want soldiers to spend their money, or they get entitlements. So we want them to stay on the installation instead of spending their money off of the installation. Sir, you want to add anything?
Well, let me say something real quick before you say anything, sir. We had Robert Irvine on the show a while back, and I want you to talk about it in a minute. And he talked about how he was going and helping you guys and do a lot of stuff. The other thing was, all the time you're talking, I'm thinking about when I used to go to those dining facilities, and man, I would go in and out. I didn't have about 15 seconds to eat and run out, and I just, I hated it. So I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead. What do you want to add anything to start with?
Yeah. So, SMA, I'll focus on campus style dining venue, which our first one, the grand opening, will be at Fort Hood on the 18th of February. And so we're really excited about that opportunity to really fundamentally change the way we feed soldiers. This has been a 3-year effort on the behalf of our soldiers that we have undertaken at AMC, along with partners in the building. And I have to give a shout out to the Secretary of the Army, who personally helped us get some waivers necessary which will allow us to reach the vendors that we know that we need to reach. You know, the professional people that do this truly for a living at scale, that will meet the Army's needs. And so as the CSM pointed out, you know, you walk in and it's multiple food stations. It is nutritional information provided. It is not prison food. It is flexible feeding hours. It's the opportunity to do takeout, pop-up food stations from many popular vendors that our soldiers are gonna love, all with a professional chef running the place, along with a dietitian on staff, who is authorized to make on-the-spot changes to the menus to meet what local requirements they have. And this has been, it sounds easy, but we've had to go to the Department of Education to get a waiver to reach some of the companies. We've had to get a waiver to not use the standard menus. I mean, we've had a pile of bureaucracy waivers that we worked through. But what you're going to get is you're going to get fed, our soldiers are going to get fed by the same people that do the cooking and the feeding for the University of Alabama Athletic Department, Roll Tide. They're going to, the same people that feed the LSU Tigers. They're the same people that feed multiple campus, college campuses. And we have met with them. Chef Irvine accompanied me when I went and met with the company after we awarded the contract. Mm-hmm. And you know, Chef Irvine's very blunt. That's why I love him.
Oh, yeah. Right? He's straightforward.
And, I call him subtle as a sledgehammer, right? And he asked him every single hard restaurant management type question, and they had every single answer for him. And again, 18 February, Fort Hood is coming to you, and we are truly excited about it because this is going to fundamentally change the way that we feed our soldiers, and we will scale as fast as possible as we you know, watch this thing grow. And then we'll make changes. If we don't get something right, we're going to change it because we're committed to meeting our soldiers where they are. And we are laser focused on those soldiers that live in the barracks, that this is part of their entitlement program because we owe this to them and we have to do it better. Because as Jay said up front, hey, we kind of lost our way over the past few years with all the turns and the rapid turns that in and out of theater. We kind of lost our way, and the soldiers told us, and we're listening.
You know, I like the fact that, I like the fact that when something's wrong, change it. I think sometimes we talk about it too long, and it gets, you know, it's like, I don't know if you ever knew General Kukulo. I remember one time he was talking about the Army sees a good idea. They talk about it, 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 talk about it. We talk about things too long. And you may only have an 85% solution there. So, yeah, I'm glad you're doing stuff like that. Hey, we're
willing to change it.
we got to go. We got to change stuff because that's why people stay in the military. In fact, again, all the time you're talking about, like, can I get back in? Because I like to go those dinosaurs. It sounds great.
Well, my earliest is I was telling these guys the other day that that in a couple of weeks I will celebrate my 40th anniversary of being in uniform.
Oh, and my goodness!
I joined as a private, and like a lot of people in the National Guard to help pay my way through college. And my earliest memories was when I showed up to the reception station at OSIT at Fort Knox. I had to go do duty in the dining facility, and they put us in front of a bucket or the biggest pan I've ever seen. We had to peel potatoes. And I remember thinking, I am really in the Army now as I'm sitting there, you know, shucking potatoes. It's a foundational experience, you know, when you're 18 years old. So I would tell you that this has been a long time coming, and we're really excited about it.
I got to ask, what year was that?
1986. You know, February 1986.
Hey, look here, I could have been there. I could have been one of those drills. No. This is a great discussion. I love this. We need to take a quick break. When I come back, let's talk about property, equipment, accountability. So please, I know you're not going to go. You're a good soldier. Stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, I know you are because we're talking about food. You know, we're talking about a lot of stuff that helps our military. And we're educating you about what AMC, Army Material Command, is doing to make it better for all of us. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lieutenant General Chris Mohan, Commanding General, and CSM Jay Garza, Command Sergeant Major from the United States Army Material Command. Hey, Sergeant Major, another effort AMC has been charged with is to find innovative solutions for property accountability. What is AMC doing to, you know, fill that space?
So SMA, you know, property accountability, we've actually got an application out there that's called Paraline. And Paraline was built in order to really speed up the accountability process. We've done a little bit of experimentation, and it has actually reduced inventories by 50%. Soldiers can actually do, if you remember, and I know you'll remember this because the days of recovery operations coming out of the field, you had to lay out all your TA-50, you had to lay out all the things in the motor pool. Well, commanders, when they do their 10% or when they do their sensitive item inventories, I mean, those take a lot of time. Well, we've got an application out there that can reduce the time so that soldiers and commanders can focus on being more lethal. They can get after things that will help them in a combat situation. Anything you want to add on that?
I think that maintenance of your equipment and accountability of your equipment is a foundational skill set for the Army. And so we're not walking away from actually having to account for your equipment. What we're walking away from is the fact that that I commanded two companies. And if and the last one was when in 2000, right? And if we went to a motor pool today, the process has not changed. And life has changed. And so what we've done is we have automated stuff that used to be manual. And Jay said 50%. If you go down the first cab now that they've had a couple of turns, they would probably say it's closer to 80% time reduction. And it's simple stuff. It's like being able to scan the IUID tag that's on the equipment. And it tells you, one, if you own it, right? It validates by serial number that you own it. It then will tell you the components of the end item and all the BII if it's a vehicle. And you just click, yes, it's there, yes, it's there, yes, it's there. And if it's a ComSec device, which we all know always ends up in a duffel bag in the top corner of the arms room, you can actually take a picture of where that thing is stored, and it stores it on the app. But the key piece is that app is talking back to our foundational property accountability system, GArmy, and updating it as you go. And so it's doing the work for you using technology. And we're in the process of rolling that out Army-wide, and it's going to be a fundamental change. Again, the chief tasked us, hey, give company commanders more time to do training. And we're meeting that task with just this one property accountability. And we got more behind it, but we're really excited about this one too.
Well, I used to see, even when I was a long time ago when I was a servant, all the wasted time that I have doing those things that I shouldn't have been doing, that they should have found a way. And then again, going back to what I said before, when you find a better way to do it, it took us so long to work through that process. And I like the fact that you guys said, no, we may not have a 100% solution, but we got a 90%. Let's go after it right now. We'll get that other 10% later. Hey, sir, those who don't know, could you explain organic industrial basin? Can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, it's our 23 depots, arsenals, and ammunition plants that build stuff for the Army. And so, at Toby Hann Army Depot in Pennsylvania, for example, we assemble radar sets. We're 3D printing microelectronic circuit cards. We're getting ready to start 3D printing wiring harnesses, all to support the field with counterfire radars, all your radio sets. That's just one example. You go to Anniston, Alabama, we're rebuilding M1 tanks, M88s. That's where we do the vast majority of our heavy armor fleet. And then if you go to Iowa Army Ammunition Plant, it's the 155 line dominates that plant, where we're doing production and load assemble pack of components to make a complete 155 round. And again, there's 23 of them. They're scattered. They are the heartbeat of America because they're in small communities for the most sake. And those folks bleed red, white, and blue. They are American patriots.
Yeah. Last time I went to AUSA, they talked about the fact that a lot of times we were waiting for vehicles were deadlined because we were waiting for parts. And one of the things that the Secretary of the Army talked about was the fact we was allowing service members maybe to do that, where we had a contractor come in and do that work before, or even take that component apart and fix it. Are you guys doing anything with that? Doesn't even make sense.
So it really gets to the right to repair. The secretary Army leaders have taken that on to write it into all of our contracts, for future buys, to any additional vehicle contracts. So that's getting baked in. But we were attacking that problem through advanced manufacturing capability that we have, and future advanced manufacturing capability, where we can, you know, take those parts. So if you saw at AUSA where the Sec Army held up this part, it's a fire pin housing for a M119 howitzer.
I did. I remember it. Yep.
Yep. Hey, we're producing that. We showed it to them 2 weeks or last week. We showed it to them that we got that part. We reverse engineered it, and we're producing it now in the a combination of the organic industrial base, but also one of our trusted industry, actually academia partners. So what we see in the future is having a network of capability, both CONUS and OCONUS, where we can solve some of these readiness challenges on the spot, using a combination of our capability as well as trusted allies and partners capability.
I remember when I was in Germany, we'd have tanks deadline for months.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the part, you know. And it's good. The other thing I thought was interesting he said too is that the thing he was talking about, the pin, the cost of that for you to fix it or to make it was what I mean, it's
a lot cheaper than the OEM.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To the point where we can just anytime we touch that part, just replace it because it's so cheap to do. Because then you can avoid a future failure. Just replace it.
Yeah, yeah, that's unbelievable. Hey, how is AMC modernizing to meet the 21st century? I think we talked about it a little bit now, but how are you modernizing now for the 21st century demands? I guess.
So from my standpoint, it's changing the way we think from a standpoint of so we've done depot maintenance for years. Now we take the capabilities we have not only for rebuild of equipment, but also the heavy maintenance teams, and we push them out to not doing fleet maintenance. What we're doing is targeting units that are either at very high op tempo or ones that are getting ready to deploy. And so we hit them at specific times based upon the division and the brigade commander's timeline. And we augment them with not only maintenance capability, but also training that goes along with that. Look, our average M1 mechanic has about 15 years of service working on M1, and that's all they do. They don't have to go to the field. They don't do PT tests. That's all they do is work on that tank. There's nobody better. And when we put them with junior soldiers, there's a huge skills transfer that happens. And then when we put them with junior soldiers who are getting ready to deploy, there's some magic that happens. And we started doing that. And then we go in and we take the worst vehicles they have, the dogs of the fleet, and we pull them out and we give them ones that came off the depot line. So we're going to meet those units where they are. And it's been very successful so far.
I'm going to ask you one question, and then Sergeant Major, I want to add on to what the general just said. Are you working real close with the National Guard with their equipment? And I mean, they're probably hand in hand.
As we get ready to we've got a lot of equipment in motion, lot of equipment motion around the Army. What you're going to see is we will take equipment, we will do maintenance on it, and then it'll go to the Guard units, or we'll take equipment from Guard units, do maintenance on it, and send it to Copper One units, as we're, again, a significant amount of equipment in motion. We have to figure out ways to get after the fact that the Guard and the Reserves have limited training time, and they're also not resourced at the same level as Compo One. And so that accounts for that time it takes to mobilize them. We have to push that timeline to the left because we live in a very dangerous world where we rely, look, as a sustainer, lifelong sustainer, we can't do it without our Compo 2, Compo 3 partners.
That's
so we
right.
got to shorten that timeline, and we got to figure out how to do it better.
Absolutely. Sergeant Major, do you want to add anything?
Well, the only thing that I would add, SMA, is any time that you integrate the tactical, operational, strategic level, you integrate them together. I mean, there's a lot of goodness, a lot of learning going on. So when we send the ORP team out and they're training the soldiers on the ground, they're sharing TTPs. Not only does it help the unit before it goes to deployment, but while the unit's on deployment, now it's created a level of expertise that they can fix the issues with their tanks or the equipment that they have. So I think it's a brilliant idea. Anytime there's integration at those three levels, I think we ought to work towards doing that.
Yeah, and SMA, I'd like to give you a couple teasers that what we've seen is we put our first Brigade, first ID through the ORP program, and they deployed to NTC and then went to Europe. What we're seeing is a substantial reduction, much higher readiness rates, but also a substantial reduction in the amount of Class 9 they consumed. And so we're helping them target and be better maintainers, do better diagnostics, et cetera, et cetera. In the future, what you're going to see is using not only your digital footprint, but also artificial intelligence to help soldiers do maintenance on their vehicles. We just rolled out an initial capability that will—it's an artificial intelligence maintenance capability that will gather all that data and as soldiers use it to do their maintenance on their vehicles. I mean, it's we're pushing this as hard as we can because we need to get more skill sets forward to our maintainers forward so that they can fix far forward on the battlefield.
And if I could just share an example with me, I just got a demo with a phone and a piece of equipment where they were able to basically do a video on that piece of equipment, identify the fault, do the triage. This is all AI doing it. And then do the step-by-step process where a soldier can do a PMCS without even knowing the vehicle, without having, just, if he follows the process, if he follows the step-by-step, he can actually fix the fault on the vehicle or whatever platform, whatever.
And order the part.
And order the part.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, you got, again, you're pumping me up here. I'm going to enlist, come back into service. This is really good. This is great information. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about areas like AMC's portfolio, like, you know, the quality of life and installation readiness and all that stuff. But what you guys are doing right now, we should have did it years ago, but I'm glad you're doing it right now. You're making a heck of a difference. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant General Chris Mohan, Commanding General, and CSM Jay Garza, Command Sergeant Major from the United States Army Material Command at Redstone Arsenal. Remember, this is your show. I host it, but it's your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like it to cover. You can send me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Hey, sir. AMC has a great profile, a portfolio, I'm sorry, ranging from quality of life and installation readiness to organic industrial base we just discussed, and supplying our warfighters and leaders where they have areas of concern. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah, we look, if a soldier's touching it, they're driving it, they're living in it, they're eating it, we've got some kind of role in that, and we're laser focused again on our three major lines of effort: living ready combat formations, enhancing the soldier experience, and reshaping and rethinking the organic industrial base, because that's what makes our Army run. What I tell my teammates in AMC is, one, I'm incredibly proud to be able to represent the blue collar workforce of the United States Army, because I came from a blue collar family, and our guys, I mean, look, they fix the tanks. They rebuild the tanks, they cook the food, and they do all, but we also have data scientists. We have people who have PhDs working on advanced manufacturing machines. And increasingly we are getting more towards, how can we better utilize the resources that we have to concentrate and generate readiness at the tactical level? We call it bringing the OIB to the tactical edge. And so we're working really hard to do that. And we've got a variety of initiatives that are coming to a unit near you soon.
Yeah, I'm pumped up just listening to stuff. Sergeant Major, same question pertains to the NCO Corps. What do you?
SMA, no, absolutely. But and I'll traverse a little bit, not the NCO Corps. I really recognize the workforce inside of AMC, because it's a small population. The NCOs are getting after it. They're absolutely getting after it. And as they go out into the operational force, they're sharing those initiatives. But it's a small population of NCOs, and they're effective, but it's really the workforce. It's the civilians out there that are getting after it in a short period. We've been all over the place in a very short period, in the last 45 days, but I have never seen so many civilians enthusiastic about making sure that soldiers have the right equipment at the right place at the right time, all focused, all moving in one direction to make sure that it's never fair if we do have to go into combat operations. And I'll tell you where that makes me feel comfortable. I didn't necessarily know as a young soldier what AMC did It's been an eye-opening experience, and I'm just honored and privileged to help and lead, or help assist lead this organization into the future. So,
yeah, well, I think go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and we're increasingly, you know, people don't understand is how expeditionary we are. You know, we were out and about across the Army, both CONUS and OCONUS, on a consistent, constant basis, whether it's a aviation repair team that's in Korea, a THAAD escort team that is, you know, moving THAAD around the globe, our MCOM teammates who are out running our installations all across the Army.
Yeah. Wow. Well, first of all, I probably could talk to you for a couple hours here. I don't want to, but this has been a great discussion. And I appreciate you even taking the time to come on the show. Any final thoughts? And sir, we'll start to you. Anything that maybe we missed that you want to share with the audience? Maybe some of the things we talked about when we wasn't on the show, but yeah, anything you want to share with the audience before we get out?
Yeah, if anything, for the leaders that are out there, pitch us your problems. You know, tell us where you're struggling. What I told the SEC Army is, with our advanced manufacturing effort, what I want to do is get out of the point where he has given us demand by holding up a part and saying, "Hey, we're having problems with this. We need to get closer. We're pushing hard towards the tactical edge, but we got to do better at that to get closer so that we can solve problems before they become major problems. So we can identify trends for maintenance and say, hey, look, we got a problem with this engine, et cetera. So help us by giving us your feedback and pitching us your problems so we can help solve them."
Yeah, well, good advice. Sorry, man, about yourself. You got anything, final thoughts or anything you want to share?
Yeah, I'll just close out with, it's great to have the latest technology. It's great to have this new equipment. But I don't think the Army needs to just yet get away from being brilliant at the basics. I think the foundation, individual soldier tasks, warrior tasks, battle drills, that collective training, the things that I learned as a young E5, E4, I think those are going to make the difference in the next conflict. It's great to have equipment, and we'll have it. It'll enable the soldier, because we never want it to be fair, but we can't lose focus on being brilliant at the basics. The basics matter. I'm happy to be here with AMC. I'm happy to be able to give soldiers the cutting edge technology, but we never need to lose focus on being brilliant at the basics. The basics will win the next fight with the technology.
I love the fact that, because I used to preach that all the time I was in the Army. I said, you can have the best tank in the world, you know, the best everything in the world, equipment-wise, but when you really get down to it, does that soldier know how to shoot his weapon? Does he know the basic fundamental of being, you know, just knowing how to do his job? So I agree 100%. The basics is stay focused, because if I don't get too deep into it, but I remember when they come out with the M1, they didn't have no manual device, you know, you can manually rotate. I said, what happens if the system goes out? What do I do? Turn the turret, you know, turn the tank and stuff. So there's a lot of things sometimes I worry about that, but I agree 100%. It's a basic fundamentals of being a warfighter. The other thing I'll tell you too is there is no second best in our jobs. You either win or you lose. And the outcome is not good if you lose. And what you're doing is making a difference in the lives of so many. In fact, you probably don't even know the impact that you have on not just the senior general officers and sergeant majors and stuff, but I mean that E4 and E5 and PFC at the bottom level. So from an old veteran here, old soldier, thanks so much for what you guys are doing. You're making a tremendous difference. And just, again, thanks for coming on the show. And if you want to come back at a later date, maybe next year or something like that, when things change, please come back. I'm a nice guy.
Thank you so much for allowing us to be on your show, SMA. We really appreciate it.
If I can ever help you, please let me know. God bless you. Hey, thanks again, Lieutenant General Chris Mohan and CSM Jay Garza for being with us. What a great team, doing so much stuff and making a difference for all of us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Upline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job in real time. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages. Never thought I'd ever say that. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing at Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant General Mohan and Sergeant Major Garza. Don't want to say that wrong. You'll get me for joining us today. And I'm going to tell you, you can see right now, I'm pumped up about the changes that they're making in Army Material Command, AMC, the changes that they're making to make it better for our warfighters on the battlefield. Those are two great leaders that care so much about making it better for all of us each and every day. So just what the General and Sergeant Major said, if you got an issue, you got a problem, something that's not working right, contact them through your chain of command, of course, but contact them to tell them what that issue is, because they just want to make life better for all of us each and every day. So thanks for watching. And thanks to Newmind Studios, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.